The Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live.
It's a good Monday. Thanks for being with us. We have a show of shows today. I think yesterday may have gone down as the best sports day. I don't even think it's May. It did. Yesterday was the best sports day of 2021 for many, many reasons. You had Phil at 50 winning the PGA Championship. You had the Suns having their first playoff game in 11 years. You had fans out on the golf course that had to be fended away by security. There almost was not enough security around Phil yesterday. You had fans down at the arena yesterday. I was there, walked around, saw businesses with people waiting to get in, which is a very good thing in our community. People were masked up, which is great in my opinion, and people were safe, and they were enjoying themselves and having a great time. Yesterday was great. It was great. We have Gary McCord with us on today's show. Gary, of course, former CBS sports analyst and does work still with TNT. Very involved in the golf scene on Phil Mickelson and what he saw out of Phil yesterday. And I want to talk to Gary about Tiger winning the Masters in 2019 or what Phil did yesterday at the PGA Championship at 50. What was the greater accomplishment in his mind? We'll do that with the great Gary McCord coming up here shortly. Carrick Felix, there's a name from years gone by. If you're an Arizona State fan or high school basketball fan, Carrick was at Millennium, and then he went to ASU, and then he had a run in the NBA with Cleveland and also Utah, and then he played overseas. He's back. I ran into him as I was throwing some weights around and said, jump on the show. You know, just jump on and let's get caught up on the playoff game and what he saw in game one of the Suns and the Lakers. Of course, he knows LeBron and all that. And also, I want to talk to Carrick about life after sports. And it's not that easy of an adjustment. I think it's a story worth hearing. That is with Carrick Felix. We're brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. That is Desert Financial Credit Union. Gary McCord here in just a few minutes. All right, so yesterday was a total conundrum for me. I get to the arena at about 10:15. I'm geeked. I'm just so geeked after 11 years of no playoffs to get down there and just see what it was like. You know, the arena's been remade and redone. It's terrific. When I got out of my car and walked through and ran into these Laker fans that didn't know that they were in Phoenix rather than LA, and they had their number 23 jerseys on and their number 8 jerseys on. Off to the side, I saw people were waiting to get into some of the restaurants there along Jefferson Street by the 3rd Street parking garage, and it felt good. It did. It felt really good. I had not been in the arena for so long since the redo. I didn't know where to go once I got in there. Seriously. I mean, I had to have some people say, okay, this is where you go. And I found my seat and all that stuff. And it was, it just had a good vibe around it. I went and walked around as fans were coming in. There was a level of anticipation and excitement. I guess when it's the Cardinals having a playoff game, and they haven't had one now, we're coming up on 6 years in their drought. And the Suns, this is a Suns town. This isn't a bash on the Cardinals. It's just a fact that when the Suns, because they were an original team, because they've been through the championships through so many different times and eras, that they had developed this fan base. They had lost the fan base because when you go 11 years without having a playoff game, the common fan, the person who's just going about their business, they don't have time to watch. They don't know who Mikal Bridges is. They barely know who DeAndre Ayton is. They kind of know who Devin Booker is. And if you're a diehard fan, you know Chris Paul. If you're kind of a fan, you do know Chris Paul, but you kind of don't know the rest of the team. That's just the way it is. For this team to go 11 years, they've lost a whole generation of fans, kids that hadn't seen it. I've got Jordan's going to go to the game tomorrow night. Jordan was probably in high school the last time the Suns had a playoff game. You know, that's ridiculous. And so you have to bring those fans back. And that's why yesterday was so cool. You know, I had not missed the refereeing in postseason basketball. This isn't a sit here and whine about the Suns. It's just so uneven. I'm sitting there by halftime, it hit me. You know, the Suns did not shoot one free throw in the first half. And then I'm into the third quarter, first media timeout. You know, they have still not shot a free throw. It's amazing how that happens. They went, 28 minutes without going to the line one time against the Lakers in what was a chippy physical first game. And it was just the first game. It felt like LeBron was kind of cruising, in my opinion. And, you know, you can go down the line of, well, the Suns did this right, the Suns did that right, the Suns did this right. Anthony Davis looked a step slow. LeBron James looked passive. He was taken out the 5.5 minute mark of the first quarter, which to me is like there's something quite not quite right with him to be taken out that early. On the other side of the street, Devin Booker. It's one thing when people are like, oh man, this guy is so great. He scored 55 points. Yeah, and he did it on 39 shots. When I see Devin Booker shoot right around 50%, he was right around there all game long yesterday. That's impressive. When you can go out and be in the 30s and you're doing it on 20 shots, 20, 24 shots, and then you go to the free throw line, and that's my whole thing on the free throw disparity. If Devin Booker gets just a call or two, he's probably hovering around 40 or 45 yesterday, but they didn't get calls. That's just how it's going to be in this series. I thought the energy and the vibe was terrific. What Chris Paul did by being injured, going to the locker room, coming back. I don't know if Mr. Miyagi was back there doing things on him. I don't know. All I know is Chris Paul willed his way through the game, and that had to send a strong message to some of these players that had never been there before. But the bigger story out of everybody, because I expected Devin Booker to shoot well, okay, even though it was his first playoff game, I thought for sure DeAndre Ayton was going to get dominated because Anthony Davis did that the first time. And Drummond had his way and had his boards on the inside, but between Drummond and Anthony Davis, you know, DeAndre Ayton played about as well as you could expect. And I love that Monty Williams said afterwards, we expect more out of him in game two. I love that. There's none of this, oh man, we are great, we're this, we're that. It was one game. Nothing's really changed other than the fan base is now excited. Nothing's really that different. But if tomorrow night LeBron James comes out passive and is taking himself out and managing his minutes, then I would be like, okay, he's not right. He's not right. So as the game was progressing yesterday, I had my second screen on to golf. And because the Suns game got so good, I turned off my second screen, even though people were pinging me saying, either A, the refereeing blows, or B, can you believe what Phil's doing with Koepka? It looked to me like in watching Phil back, and I watched it this morning, Phil was very deliberate yesterday. And I don't know if Brooks Koepka was able to handle that. I don't know if that was, you know, Phil talking about his yoga and everything. I'm not picking stones up and throwing them at Phil Mickelson. It's just his approach was so deliberate. I don't know if Brooks Koepka could handle it. You know, it was just really interesting to see that. And then the fans and the beauty of Kiowa, there was just so much there. It was great to see. And we'll talk with Gary McCord about that. In fact, we'll do so next. Sports360AZ.com. I'm Brad Sussmat. So as I'm watching the mass chaos with Phil yesterday, I'm thinking of Gary McCord. I'm thinking of golfers. I'm thinking of Peter Costas. I'm thinking of people here in the Valley and just what are they thinking as they're seeing all of this? And Gary's nice enough to join us here for a few minutes to walk through what was just amazing stuff yesterday. What were you thinking as it was happening?
Well, you know, Phil's been playing decent. He's shown some signs. He had the 64 the other day leading the tournament and kind of fell by the wayside. So, you know, it's there. Okay. But, you know, again, and we've talked about being, you know, 50 and older. Your focus it's not there. Just, you know, you go play 18 holes, but you only remember 14. The other four holes, you can't remember what you're doing or why you did that. So it is, it's real. Believe me, it's real. I've gone through it on the Champions Tour. And so to watch Phil do it, you know it's there. But boy, for four rounds in a tournament, it's really hard to do at that age. It really is. But to do it at a major, and so after the first round, you know, it's going pretty good. And the second round, okay, all right. And then the third round, he's still hanging in there. He's driving the ball in the fairway. He's got a 2-wood. That's a huge in Phil's arsenal because Phil's whole thing is to hit hellacious seeds. So, you know, he doesn't, that's the reason he's still playing well. And that is the reason because he can still keep up with the kids. So you just wonder when he's going to start hitting those flares, you know, go out somewhere out in Kiowa Island out there towards the ocean. And he started off yesterday, and we're all watching it going, what are these guys doing? They're flipping two shots on every hole coming through. I remember, I think after 10 holes, their best ball was 6 under and their worst ball was 7 over.
Yeah.
In fact, I texted that to Jim Nance and he got it on the show. And that's what it was. It was such a, I've never seen a flip flop like that on every hole. You'll see it every 4, 5, 6 holes, but it was in, so literally, I know you're watching it too, obviously, you know what's going to happen now. I mean, anything could happen. It looks like they were going to just kill each other and shoot 85, both of them, and everybody else is going to come up, and somebody's going to shoot 67 from behind and win. And then it settled down. You know, after 10, it kind of settled down, and it got to a tournament. Phil pulled away, and he, as you know, every tee shot, you're holding your breath. You don't know where it's going. I don't know if he knows where it's going, but it was fantastic to watch that, to be the oldest winner in history of a major. That's the asterisk you're going to have on that, on his 6 majors. And that's the big one.
Gary McCord with us for a few minutes on Phil Mickelson's victory. So if you look at Phil and what he accomplished this past weekend and Tiger winning the Masters, better achievement in your opinion?
I gotta, you know, you gotta go with Tiger, because Tiger's been through so much, mm-hmm. and so many ups and downs in his career. And just when everybody gave up on him and everything else, you know, through the injuries and through everything, just everything, the chaos, you know, here he comes and he wins another, you know, he wins at Augusta. Phil's is fantastic, but Phil's in great shape, still hitting bombs, doing all the stuff he's got to do. It's just he's 50. You know, Tiger's not that far behind him at that point. You know, what's he now, 47? So I would have to go with Tiger, but it's a small little margin there.
When you hit 50, Gary, what goes first?
I'll tell you what. This is a true story. I was out there. I was 50, and I was playing the Champions Tour. We're having a Tuesday game, a money game, and they get kind of heated. And it was John Jacobs, me, John Schroeder, and Bob Duvall. Okay, David Duvall's dad.
Yeah.
And we play every Tuesday, and you know me. I'm after him. I'm after him on the tee. I'm after him. I'm going. And we go and we tee off and we go down to the first hole. And I turned to my caddy and said, "Where did I drive it?" And he started laughing. He goes, "You forgot to hit it. That's 50. I forgot to hit my tee shot." The other guys didn't say a word. They were just laughing to see what I do. I walked down there looking for my ball. So that really does explain a lot of what happens to your brain function. The mentation process kind of goes awry every once in a while.
Is it the swing speed too? I mean, I look at Phil and it looks like he's hitting it further, like he's dialed that back in.
No, that's why he's still going. I mean, that's the only reason he's still going. You saw him; he's out driving Brooks Koepka.
Yeah.
Dear God, you know that's. I'd be out there playing too at 73 if I could hit it. Max Koepka and those guys, and he's hitting the longest drive on what was a one hole 365 or something coming in. That's good stuff.
The fans, the crowd, the moment. Were you anxious about that and thinking they've got to get control of this?
I think. Number one, it's post-COVID. Everybody wants to party, have a good time.
Yep.
Number two is Phil. Okay. Then the PGA likes to let the guys come in, the gallery come in on 18. You might want to take those two things in consideration and or get about 5,000 cops there to regulate that whole thing. But it got a little out of hand. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Anything that you took away from it that maybe people aren't talking about here the day after? It's like, Brad, this is really what caught my eye most about this.
I think what caught my eye was the fact that we should eternally be grateful for Pete Dye and the golf courses he makes visually. Have you ever seen pictures like that from the blimp they had? They had drones running around. It was unbelievable. Look at those pictures. If you didn't play golf, and they showed you the tee, and then they put the drone up and showed you the hole and looked at the marshes and the bunkers coming in and everything. You're scared to death, and you're watching on television. You know, can you imagine those guys? So visually, it was fantastic. Kiowa has always been visually. So is all Pete Dye's golf courses. So in our medium to show that, I think that was the one thing that really caught me. You couldn't wait to see, you know, which way the wind's blowing and the marshes and all this stuff. On every shot, you can make triple, every shot. And you could visually see that.
I appreciate your time and your insight the day after, Gary. Thanks.
You got it, Brad. Thank you.
There's Gary McCord, and we're back with more after this timeout. All right, as promised, so I'm working out at Move, and I'm getting my butt kicked, and I'm dripping sweat, and I see this dude, and I'm like, I know that guy. And actually, I was thinking, I know this kid because I remember seeing Carrick Felix at Millennium High School and then at Arizona State, and then he went on to the NBA. And you you had a stint in Australia too, right?
Yes, yes. Played in Australia for a little bit as well.
Yeah. How are you? What's new with doing Carrick Felix? Fill us in.
I am doing well. It's been 3 years since I've been away from the sport of basketball, but it's been good. Been able to travel and speak and get into a couple new business opportunities. But besides that, it's been good. No complaints over here. So,
Carrick Felix with us for a few minutes. What'd you make out of the Suns yesterday?
Oh man, you know, I was very, very, very surprised with how they played. I think they showed a lot of resilience yesterday. I think they showed a lot of poise. You know, my hat goes off to Devin Booker. I think he played finally up to like his potential. Mm. He was phenomenal yesterday in his play and his ability to score and attack and kind of will his team to the win. But they're still so young, man. They're still so young.
Yeah. 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 No, I mean, In your run in the league, you've seen LeBron, you've been there, and you see him now. What's different about him when you see him?
You know, I feel like right now, you can kind of tell LeBron is still trying to get into the flow of things just because he was out for a little bit. But you can see that he's just allowing the game to come to him. I think the one thing that, you know, from being in the league and like seeing it when I'm playing and then stepping out of it, like, you know, from the outside looking in, I can see that right now LeBron's just in this place right now where he's getting ready to amp up. And I think that next game is going to tell it all on kind of where his physical is at and his mental is at, preparing kind of for, you know, game two, game three, game four.
Because when he says afterwards, I'll be ready, we'll be ready, that kind of is a shot across the bow. Like, we really weren't ready here in game one. Is that what you saw?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, they for sure weren't ready. I think they didn't have – I mean, they had all their pieces, but they just weren't laying down. I mean, they had all the cards. They just weren't laying down the right set. So, mm-hmm. I think for them right now, it's just about kind of coming together as a group again. Since LeBron was out, they had a few players that were injured. Just kind of filling in those gaps and seeing kind of where everybody fits in, I think for them is going to be kind of the thing moving forward. So I think they're all right. When LeBron says something like that, it's usually he means it. So
yeah. Former Arizona State Sun Devil Carrick Felix with us for a few minutes. Of course, Millennium High School as well, had his run in the NBA, and now you're on the backside of your career. Yes. I want to transition over to that, Carrick, because I do believe that the idea of adjusting to something new after a professional athlete is done is much harder than it appears on the surface. And we do a lot here on sports and mental health and adjusting back into society. How did it go for you that you're no longer NBA star Carrick Felix?
Oh man. You know, it was rough at first. You know, I'm not going to lie. It was rough at first, you know, just because, you know, my whole life, my identity has been sports. It's been, you know, Carrick Felix, the basketball player. So to find out, you know, my identity outside of basketball, and then finding things that, you know, I loved to do and that I was interested in, I think that was the hardest thing. You know, missing kind of that team feel and being able to kind of work for that one task. For the first year, it was definitely tough, but One thing I definitely found is just that if I just keep going and just, you know, the best thing is that, you know, in sports, I mean, it's the greatest teacher of life, and it teaches you every single thing you need to know about just, you know, the journey that's to come. So I was, you know, I was blessed to kind of use what I've learned in sports to kind of catapult me to where I'm at right now. And, you know, at first it was hard. The transition was hard, but once you kind of figure it out, I mean, it everything starts making sense. And then you realize how much sports and just playing sport has, you know, taught you these tools to kind of implement in your life that are going to, you know, bring even more success. I feel that later down in life, whether it's now, later, 10 years from now, 5 years from now, I think it all comes. So yeah, it's been good.
Is it the routine that is now gone? Because as a basketball player, you're going to be, especially in the time where you played in high school, you've got a game over on court two on the club team at 8 a.m.
Yeah.
And if you win or you lose it, it doesn't matter, really. You're going to go over to court number four and you're going to play again. And then when that's done, you're going to go take a nap and then you're going to go play again. And you're in this cycle in high school. And then in college, you're trying to balance books and basketball and you're on planes and all that stuff. But you still have a routine. Then you get into the NBA. And you wake up and you don't know what city you're in. You push 9 even when you get home on your phone because you think you need room service, right? I mean, am I making sense here or am I overstating?
Yeah, no. No, you are making complete sense for sure. You're making complete sense. I think, you know, the routine part of it, it's you got to be disciplined. You got to, you know, kind of go back to your roots and go back to looking at what your overall goal is for yourself. Cause I think it is hard, you know, for an athlete to get out of especially sports and start doing real life and understanding that, you know, you don't have your coach or you don't have like a practice to wake you up. You got to give yourself more reasons to, you know, get up in the morning and be more disciplined with being your routine. And, you know, for me, I lost it a little bit when it came to working out and staying in the gym and realized that sometimes, you know, as former athletes and just as people in general, we all need coaches at some point in our lives, whether trainers or, you know, someone teaching us something new, whether it's, you know, day trading, which I'm something that I'm doing now. Mm-hmm. You know, we all need coaches. So.
Is it the glitz and glam too of being recognized when you're out in public and the ego side that is fed when you're in that moment? And when players say, no, that's never been me, I'm thinking, well, I have to have an ego to do this. The ego is stopped being fed when you're no longer recognized buying Brussels sprouts in the grocery store, right? I mean, it's just different.
No. You know, it's different. For sure. And you get used to, a certain lifestyle. You get used to some of the things that you are accustomed to as athletes, like, you know, people ask me for autographs and, you know, taking the pictures. But you know, for me, I just think personally, I don't think that goes away. I just think that you build it in a new way. Somewhere else, whether it's you're mentoring kids or whether you're, you know, doing things for friends and family. I think those moments that you had in college and you're taking the pictures and you're signing autographs, those, you never want to take those away. But I think, you know, as an athlete, you just got to understand that those moments are still there. They may not be the same, but you just got to cherish them a little different. You know, there may be some kid who doesn't really recognize you, or maybe their parents may recognize you, and may ask for a picture with the kids, and the kids may not even know who you are, but it's just appreciating what, is kind of left of it and trying to make it your own in a way. So.
I saw you, I'll just pull the curtain back here a little bit. I'm sitting there dripping sweat and I see you mentoring I see you mentoring a young player just who didn't know you from Adam, and it just went really well just in a 45-minute conversation while cracking weights. Yeah. And is that something that you're doing more of now, or is that just I caught you in a moment? Is that where you
No, it's definitely something that I've been doing more of. So since I've been able to get done with basketball, I kind of took on the mentoring state and just being able to coach others just in life and just gaining the kind of the mental tools to kind of gain the advantage over their opponents, whether it's in the work, whether it's, you know, in the 9-to-5, in the office, whether it's building a business or whether it's, you know, someone playing their current sport. So that's something that I just always love to do is just help, you know, individuals kind of get to the next level and continue to pour in. So I, whenever I see best fits or when the opportunity comes, I'm always looking to mentor, or just help anyone out. Just due to my story and just what I've learned along the way. So
yeah, you're done then, right? You're not gonna, I'm not going to read about you showing back up in Melbourne or bumping around.
No, you're not going to read about, you know, this guy getting back into sports.
Yeah.
So, I'm old now.
Well, you're doing some good stuff. Hey, appreciate the visit. Thanks for jumping on for a few minutes.
No, thank you. I appreciate you giving me a call. So
there's Carrick Felix, and we're back with more after this timeout.